Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Shipping deadlines and delays, and oh, the importance of a vaccine delivery delay, COVID-19 vax, because of the snow. And a stimulus is coming, or stimulus, if I say that correctly. So, ho, ho, ho. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas for those who need it. It might not be quite what the president wanted it to be, but it will be something. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. Thrilled, as always, to be the captain of this ship as we navigate some pretty tricky turns here, especially this past week. The stimulus, the stimulus, the stimulus. That's been talked about ad nauseum. It should have been done a long time ago. It looked like there was bipartisan cooperation, meaning the Republicans and the Democrats had almost come to an agreement, but almost doesn't count, except for in horseshoes. So finally, it looks like the fight is over. Not 100% because it's not official, but almost official. So that's a good thing. The stimulus checks won't be quite what the president wanted. The president at one point wanted it to be $2,000 per household, who were eligible, which would have been a great kick. But in this $900 billion COVID-19 economic package, it would be a second round of checks, but it would just be a lot less than the kind of money that the president wanted to see shelled out. He had to be talked off the ledge on that one, wanting it maybe at least $1,200, but wanting $2,000 a person. And what they're saying is in this deal, it would shake it right out if there was a push for that, because it would be much more than $900 billion. So not going to go in that direction, but at least there would be relief. There'd be another, $600 for individuals, $600 per person. So that part is good, because there'd be something. Don't think it'll reach you before the end of the year, but maybe the beginning of the year. And a little something is better than nothing. It really is. I mean, yes, $2,000 would have been incredible, but it also would have been that much more money, I guess, heaped on it. And then what is agreed upon in the bill, because that also plays a very big role into what it is. And some of the money in this package is going toward vaccines and getting it allocated to places where they don't have the kind of money to back up what they need for supplies and getting it out to everybody, etc. When you look at 16 million plus U.S. cases, we got to get to the end of this tunnel. I am sick of looking at the map of the United States and seeing red blotches all over it to tell me how many cases there are and how many people have died. 310, 699,000. Wow. I mean, that's staggering, right? It is. It's a staggering number. If you break it down and think about minute by minute, how many Americans is that? And we don't necessarily have the whole picture, because mild or asymptomatic infections, they're not diagnosed. So we don't know. And there are people that are asymptomatic. That's the scary part, because they think it's fine, and it's not necessarily fine as to who they come in contact with. So cases, so many. So many cases, too many cases, and too many people dying from this. We need to get that herd immunity. We need it out, gone, done. Sick of hearing the word COVID. The most overused, what are the most overused words in the English language? COVID, pandemic, pivot. Oh, yeah. And you can see the crush of isolation, the effect that it has had so on so many people, not here, just here in the United States, but also around the world. All the people that we talk about with the high impact authors, how it is in their neck of the woods and how difficult it's been, or if they're lucky, not quite as bad. And the economics of small business, it's off the table. It's awful because of some of the closures and not even being able to do anything with a patio. And I noticed in my neighborhood, and I was talking to somebody who had a buffet, a Mediterranean buffet, popular, and a popular business owner. And I stopped today when I was getting a cup of coffee and asked how he was, what they were doing. And in the back, what are they doing? The chilly day, they're working on, there are people out there, they were working on a patio, a long patio, so that more people could come back and feel safe. And that's not an option for everybody, but that is something that he could do. And the hope is that that's exactly what will happen, that some people are there, but then others are dropping out because they don't feel comfortable. So that's the whole idea. And this is what people are having to do. That's why the stimulus checks are so important. I mean, crazy important. There's buzz around the Beltway as to what the president's going to do with his pardons. All the presidents pardon certain people that they get pressured to pardon that may even be in some way connected to them. It is the power of the pardon. So presidential pardons, there's always controversial people on the list. There's always a push for some of the people, like Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, or Ed Snowden, who leaked classified information and then has been exiled. So the president's pardon power is limited to federal offenses. The Constitution only grants the president the power to pardon offenses against the United States. Something that violates state law but not federal law is against the state, so there's no power there. I've had a question asked about that. And TikTok, I mean, we are almost at Christmas. Before you know it, it's going to be the inauguration. So whoever is going to get pardoned, whoever else is going to get pardoned, that list could include Ed Snowden. But there are many who are saying Ed Snowden's a traitor and Trump should not do that. And then there's the push for others to say he should pardon him. And what a perfect way for him to go out. But that's his decision to make, who gets the power of the pardon. And he has the power to do that. He has the power to grant that. And that's pretty big. So that's like, that's what the, like waving the magic wand, right? Oh, okay, we wave the wand, it's over, you're pardoned. And then, you know, when you think of how many presidential pardons that have been given away. President Clinton used that power to grant pardons and clemency to 456 people. Even commuting the sentences, obviously, of those already convicted of a crime. And how many will the list be in the end for Donald Trump? I don't know about Snowden. I don't know about Assange. I think that's iffy. Flip a coin. Mailbag, we're headed there next to find out what you think.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
This is sponsored by Amazon. Gather around the table to enjoy your favorite home-cooked meals, featuring ingredients from Amazon Grocery and Amazon Fresh. With the online acceptance of SNAP EBT benefits, Amazon customers can purchase the grocery items they need to recreate family recipes or make new mealtime traditions at home. Christina Herman, Amazon spokesperson, discusses the meaningfulness of home-cooked meals.
Amazon understands the value of cooking fresh meals at home, making memories, and creating traditions with family. SNAP recipients can save time with convenient home delivery from Amazon Fresh and Amazon Grocery so they can spend it where it really matters.
Customers paying with SNAP EBT on Amazon also have free access to Amazon Fresh and fast and convenient same-day grocery delivery with the added bonus of having attended or unattended delivery. To find deals and exclusive discounts for SNAP customers and learn more about the program, visit amazon.com/snap.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's dig in the mail bag. Let's dig in the mail bag.
Yeah, let's dig in the mailbag. Boy, oh boy, it feels like that. I know I've said this a couple times when you hear that, let's dig in the mailbag. It feels like that kind of a day. I know for my relatives that they were loving the snow in one way, but that also made them even more sluggish. If you just tuned in, hey, hey, Kate Delaney, we are in the mailroom. If you have any thoughts, you want to flip them to me 24/7, you can do it, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. In fact, if you want to know more about the show or books that I've written or any of that kind of stuff, or you just say, who is this woman? I have no idea. Go to katedelaneyradio.com. All right, so how about this one from Patrick, who says, hi, Kate. I got to tell you, the idea that the president wanted to up the ante to $2,000, for some of the people in my neighborhood, that $2,000 would have been sweet. And I think he was trying to do that to really honestly help give the little guy a leg up. I suppose I realize that the package would have been that much more money, but for God's sake, man, we're in a pandemic. Well, I agree. We're in a pandemic. So when you're balancing where the money is shifting and where the money is going and what are the unemployment numbers and how tough this has been on small business, the backbone of the U.S. capitalist society. I mean, think about it. How many mouths have to be fed that aren't being fed? And I mean, yeah, we know. We know what's happened here. And I would have been, of course, everyone around them in the White House had to talk them out of that because there's no deal. The Democrats weren't going above that 900 mark. So that wasn't going to fly. So now you're stuck. Now you have no nowhere to go but to say, okay, well, something is better than nothing, so take the something. And that I also agree with. I mean, I do. Because they had to do something. Or else you're stuck. And then we roll into another year, and people are desperately needing that unemployment, desperately needing that extra bump, and they're not getting it. And, you know, what did my grandfather say? Do you think we have a money tree in the backyard? So unless you're growing a money tree and you really need it and that neighborhood you're talking about really needs it, then you got to take something rather than, you know, not get anything. So there you go. All right. Let's move to this one. This one is from Brooke. And Brooke says, Kate, I know you've had cybersecurity experts on before. You had Snow Carruthers, I think her name was, and I heard it a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was brilliant. And I just saw a story about Microsoft and the fact that they actually fingered more organizations that have been part of that whole hack thing. Do you know that story that I'm talking about? I do. They came up with 40 of their customers, is what I think what you're talking about, because they were victims around the world that had versions of a third-party IT management program installed, and they were specifically targeted by the suspected Russian hacking campaign. They said that 80% of those victims are in the U.S., but the rest are in seven other countries. You know what those countries are? Canada, Mexico, Belgium, Spain, the U.K., Israel, and the United Arab Emirates. And Microsoft's analysis really shows the more specific assessment of the scope of the damage caused by the hacking campaign and that third-party software program that was sold by SolarWinds, which is an IT management firm. So I think they were smart to write about it, to talk about it, because, you know, the that company has about 18,000 global customers. And that includes private companies, government agencies, other organizations. So, unfortunately, that was a nasty piece of business. And it's being addressed by cybersecurity teams in the public and private sectors, including Microsoft. And I guess that's the big tie to Microsoft. And Microsoft has been compromised. They said it was an isolated thing and removed a vulnerability in their system tied to that third-party software. But it shows you just how easy it is, and that's why they get the best crackers of the hackers that they can possibly find to constantly monitor, come up with, and look at what's going on in the landscape so they can shut it down before it becomes an even bigger deal. All right, how about this one? You know, we got a lot of varied kinds of email this time around, and this is from Sam I Am. Sam I Am used to call the show a lot, and Sam says, hey, Katie, Kate, has been a while since we've had a conversation. I was thinking about you the other day and these vaccines and the fact that there is now a second rollout, and that's a really good thing. And I wonder why the president gets no credit for it. Because isn't Operation Warp Speed, wasn't that what he called, isn't that what he called for? Yeah, Operation Warp Speed. And fast is not fast enough, as fast as possible. Well, that was one of his complaints, is we're, you know, accusing Pfizer or somebody of not having that information about the vaccines before the election. But the CEO of Pfizer says, oh, no, trust me, if we had it, we would say something. We did not have what we needed. We were doing our due diligence that we had to do. So now the CEO is not worried so much about the timeline. He's worried about what Sarah is. And Sarah sent this to me. What is some of the information out there that I think has people so confused, Kate, is the safety of it. And also, what are we doing? Are masks really helping prevent the spread? I know people that just refuse to wear them, and then I know people that swear by it, and really, it's not a big deal to wear it, but I understand some people's hesitancies if their mind is filled with it's not going to do a damn bit of difference. Well, they've done a bunch of studies on it, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, remember they testified in September that masks are the most important, powerful tool that we have. And, you know, I think there was, and this was, the president did say this. He said something in maybe in October, that 85% of people diagnosed with COVID-19 wore masks. But that's not, it doesn't look that way. That's not what's happened at all. The in the 14 days before people got sick, in this study, what they found is 71% of the positive cases and 74% of the negative reported always wearing the mask in public. The numbers are almost the same. The main difference, though, is that a higher percentage of positive cases had contact with an infected person. So if you have contact with the infected person, you're living with them, you're not masking up. That's how they were getting that. That's it. I mean, that's what it is. And what is the thing that can shut it down? I mean, hospitals have, you know, no reason, because if the people are worried about misinformation of numbers, but they don't have any reason to misdiagnose or to sabotage the numbers and not be accurate with it, because then for them it doesn't help them. The CARES Act included a provision to reimburse hospitals more for uninsured coronavirus patients than those with Medicare, but there's no evidence that hospitals are gaming the system. All right, so remember, you 24/7 can send me your thoughts, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Coming up next, you're going to love this. These two guys are funny in much different ways. First, we're going to talk to Charlie Campisi, who has taken thousands of people for rides because he's a rideshare driver. Think of all of the companies out there, and he's got stories about them. Adventures of a Rideshare Driver, that's Charlie's book. He wanted to make sure, because, hey, he's going to just give you his number. So if you need a ride, you need his number anyway, but I guess you don't necessarily. You just need the app for one of the rides. But he is autographing books and sending them out. So you could call him at 512-461-2935. 512-461-2935. I'm in the giving mood, so I wanted to give his number out. And also, after we speak with Charlie, we're going to talk to Steve Shannon. He wrote a book called Good Strokes for Older Folks, A Senior's Guide to Somewhat Better Golf. Oh, he's got stories. We both have golf stories. And he was a guy who came up with that cannon that shoots the golf ball. I actually did it. Oh, my shot was terrible. Hang with us.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is renewing his calls for a special counsel to investigate the overseas business dealings of Hunter Biden, son of President-elect Joe Biden. Hunter is currently under investigation for tax issues, and more questions are being raised about his involvement with business interests in China and the Ukraine. The chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee tells Fox News that he'll continue to call for the special counsel to make sure this issue doesn't get buried.
We're not going to sweep this under the rug. My big fear is that the media could give a damn about this investigation, and Democrats would gladly sweep it under the rug if they could. They never brought Horowitz before the House Judiciary Committee. They never spent 15 minutes looking at the abuses in Crossfire Hurricane. I'm convinced that the only avenue available is either a special counsel or a Republican Senate to get to the bottom of this.
This is USA Radio News. Calls are growing among congressional Republicans for a special counsel investigation into the overseas business dealings of President-elect Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Many are citing the national security risks that could come from possible Chinese influence on Biden. The president-elect said Thursday that he's not concerned about the accusations against his son. Hunter is currently under investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware for issues with his taxes. For his part, President Trump tweeted on Thursday that he would have nothing to do with a potential prosecution of Hunter Biden. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul doesn't think a special counsel is necessary, but tells Fox News that President-elect should leave current U.S. attorneys in place in order to complete a federal probe.
Traditionally, when a new president comes in, they fire all the U.S. attorneys. If he wants to show that this is going to be an upright, upstanding Biden administration and that they're going to actually let the cards lie where the cards lie, on Hunter Biden, he needs to leave that U.S. attorney in place.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Joins us. He's written a book called Adventures of a Rideshare Driver. And doesn't it just conjure up all kinds of interesting people that he might have met and some crazy stories, I'm sure, that he has to tell? Well, that's exactly what the book is. It takes you on that kind of a ride. So, Charlie, thanks for coming on.
You're quite welcome. I'm glad to be with you today.
What made you decide to be a rideshare driver, and was it what you thought it was going to be when you started?
I was bored 3 days after retirement from a job which I held for over 40 years. I got on the computer and I started looking at different ads that were on the screen, and one said, be a driver for Lyft. So I followed up on that, and 8 days later, I was a driver with Lyft in Austin, Texas, driver number 34, back when Lyft first got to Austin. I suppose there are about 3,400 Lyft drivers in the Austin area now.
Wow.
I got interested in writing the book because after about a year and a half of driving, my wife suggested that I keep a diary and ask passengers or invite them to write something in my diary. A lot of people did. Most of them wrote just a few comments. But when I got three diaries full of information, I went back through it and realized that I could make some pretty good stories out of some of the things that I had encountered with those passengers. So I sat at the computer a few hours every day for 1 month, and I did a complete book. That was at the very end of 2017, part of 2018. So 6 or 8 months later, I decided I would attempt to publish it.
And then voila, there you go. And now you've got it. And, you know, you talk about, I mean, you've had, what, more than 20,000 passengers. It's got to be even more than that number.
Well,
and you've driven
now,
for different companies.
Yes. Now, yeah, I've driven for three different companies in the Austin, Central Texas area. And I am now with, let's see, with all three companies, in excess of 12,300 trips. So I figure over 30,000 people now.
Wow. And you
with
have
the pandemic, I'm focusing on delivering food, and I'm going to do that for about the next 6 weeks until this COVID thing calms down. But it seems that delivering food for these companies is even more lucrative than driving passengers. Although I so extremely miss the conversation.
I bet.
Because I love to chat with people.
Yeah, I bet you do. So in chatting with people, you got to tell us a couple of stories. Give us a couple of stories. You told me a story about some girls that you picked up and what kind of a saga that was.
Yeah, outside of San Marcos, I was traveling home about 2:15 one morning, still had the app on, and I was on the road on which we live, and I got a request for a pickup. I went about 2 miles, pulled up to the front of a piece of property, and all there was one flashlight beaming at me. A young man came out and said, "Who are you here to pick up?" And I gave him a name. He said, "I'll be right back," and he walked off into the darkness and came back a minute later with four tipsy young ladies following him. They got into the car, three in the back, one in the front seat, and they were arguing about whose app they were using and who was going to be responsible for paying for the trip. So they saw that after we went about 4 miles, and they started the argument about where they're going to stop to get some food because they were starving at this time of the morning. We decided on the only McDonald's that was open in town. I drove them up. After they decided they weren't going through the drive-thru, I let them out and waited 15 minutes while they stood in line to order their food. They came out still tipsy, got in the car again. The lady in the front seat said, "By the way, Mr. Uber driver, you need to know each one of us lives in a different dormitory." So I said, "Okay, here we go." As I stopped to let a girl out at each of the first three dormitories, the girl who was leaving my car leaned back in and said, "Well, girls, I'll see you in church about 11 o'clock this morning." And being an imp, I decided to respond immediately. "Young lady, after tonight, you need church." And I got to say that three times. That was one of my more interesting trips.
Oh boy, no kidding. It sounds like you just had a blast though doing this, and you are having a blast doing it, right?
Well, yes. I have met people from over 80 different countries, and a lot of them have put information into my diary. A lot of people from all over the world come to the Austin area because we're kind of a technological center now. And we have a gigantic outlet mall here in San Marcos. I get a lot of rides from people who are going back either to San Antonio or to Austin who have a trunk full of things for me to carry for them. And I've met people from lots of places in Mexico, Central America, South America, Eastern Europe. You want to hear the Chestahola story?
We want to hear it.
Okay, the Chestahola story is not in this book. It's in the second book. It's on the burner right now, but it's worth telling. Some of the earliest settlers in Texas, back in the white folks, Anglos, that settled in Texas back in the late 1700s and 1800s, were from Poland. They landed in Texas at a port, one of the two or three ports out of the Gulf of Mexico. And they made their way, probably by horse and buggy or by wagon, horse and wagon, to about 25 miles south of San Antonio. And they settled four or five little towns, and in each town they built a church. The people who settled in one place came from Częstochowa, Poland. They named their community in Texas Częstochowa. So 2 years ago, I was in Austin, and I went to a very large apartment complex and picked up two women. I introduced myself. They introduced themselves. I said, where are you ladies from? And the younger woman said, I live here now. I'm working. I'm from Poland. My mother is here visiting. I said, yeah, what part of Poland? And the lady said, oh, my goodness, I'm from Częstochowa. I said, did you know that Częstochowa is in Texas? And they were, it just blew them away. So I gave them my autograph, and I gave them a copy of my book.
Oh, yeah, a little history lesson. How interesting is that? The roots of that town. Yeah.
Now, wow. One of the stories in the current book is called My Shortest Trip. On a Sunday afternoon, I got called to the east side of the interstate off of Riverside Drive. I went to a B&B, and I picked up a couple, introduced myself, and they got in the car. My name is Charlie. They told me their names. I said, where are you all headed today? And they told me they were going to go to a restaurant. I said, what brings you to Austin? And the man said, this is getting too personal. Stop at the next corner and let us out. That was my shortest trip ever. Three blocks only.
This is too personal.
Here in Austin from New York City. Short with their manners and short with their trip.
Boy, no kidding. What do you hope people take away from reading your first one and then eventually your second one, Adventures of a Rideshare Driver?
Well, I hope people will see that driving with one of the rideshare companies is extremely safe, that it's reliable, that the wait time almost everywhere is no more than 5 to 10 minutes. Unlike the taxi cab industry where people wait 2 and 3 hours.
Yeah.
I think that drivers are very interesting. Many of them are retired people who have a long history in the area and who enjoy a good conversation. And they're delighted to be able to drive anywhere from 10 to 30 hours a week.
Yeah, and you're that person, and it's so interesting to see now that delivering food is even more lucrative, and what that's turned into, and that there is always this opportunity. If you reach out and you grab it. All right, Charlie. Most important thing, Charlie Campisi, Adventures of a Rideshare Driver. Amazon. They can get the book where else?
Yes, Amazon Prime, Barnes and Noble. They can ask their local bookstore to get them a copy.
Perfect.
On Amazon Prime, they can get the Kindle copy of the book for a couple dollars.
Nice. That's perfect reading.
If they wish, they can call me, and I will send them an autographed copy of the book, and then they can just send me a check in return mail.
All right. That sounds good. So. So that works as well. Charlie, thank you so much. Charlie Campisi, Adventures of a Rideshare Driver. We appreciate you sharing your stories with us.
Well, I'm very happy to. More than anything, I enjoy driving the young college students around in Austin and San Marcos. I feel like because of their background and what they had to go through to get to the university, they are very community-minded. They know what community service is. And I tell them all the time that they came to the university to get a good education and to have fun in a safe way, and that I have great faith in them because when they had to do a resume to get into the university, they had to list a number of community service activities. And I tell them, I truly believe in you, and I think that you guys will be the next greatest generation.
Wow, and that's a
many of them tell
message.
Me you're not only are you the first person to tell me this, but most of our drivers don't even want to talk with us. so they get a real thrill with me.
So that shows you. All right, Charlie, thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
There's no secret here on the show. I talk about playing golf all the time. It's one of the best privileges, really, of my life, that with this career I've played in some of the greatest places in the United States and some other places as well. So in our virtual green room right now, Steve Shannon joins us, and the game has been very, very good to him. He's written a book called Good Strokes for Older Folks, A Senior's Guide to Somewhat Better Golf. I love that title. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure.
So you talk about in the book, too, it's funny, you've got great examples of this, and it's so true, isn't it, that this is a game that we all want to master, or we think we can master, I don't know, but then we get, it's just like incredibly embarrassing and at times so exasperating. Why are we addicted to golf?
We're crazy, of course. Only lunatics play golf. But but golf is just like real life. You know, we're responsible for everything that goes on there. And we want to blame the car horn or the bird squawking or the person next to us that sneezed, but we're responsible for whatever we do with that ball. It's an addictive kind of game.
It is an addictive game. And in the book, you know, you talk about innovation and talk about innovation. And I said this, that the game has been really good to you. Tell the listeners what you were part of that is incredibly innovative, that just took off like nobody's business.
Well, are you talking about fundraising for charity?
Yes, yes.
Aha, okay. Well, that's I'll see if I can do it quickly. I have I lost a kid brother in Vietnam, and my passion became helping wounded warriors of various kinds. And some years ago, about 7-8 years ago, golfing buddy and I got asked to help with the fundraising tournament. And to do so, we came up with the idea of using an air-powered golf ball launcher. And the people would come to our hole, and they would pay some money to the charity for the opportunity to shoot a ball 300 yards or more to the green and get a birdie or an eagle. It was just a fun thing. Well, it has exploded, and now there are people all over the United States doing this kind of thing in golf tournaments.
And, you know, it is very fun to do. I have to say, I really wanted to get a hole-in-one, but I did it at a charity tournament, and they put it on my shoulder, and I was like, oh, please, please, let it just hit the green and roll in, and everybody explode with excitement. And it didn't happen, but I still didn't have an embarrassing shot, and it was really fun, and they filmed it. So it was pretty exciting.
That is really fun. We get four or five holes-in-one every year. And when you consider we do a couple hundred tournaments a year, that's still a pretty high percentage.
Yeah. Wow. No kidding. Well, what a great thing. And especially, too, Wounded Warriors. I love that connection. I'm with you. That's one of my charities for sure. Now, tell us about the book. You know, there's some funny and delicious, I think, stories in there. And you give advice. So, you know, tell us about some of that great advice you're giving us.
Well, the first advice is don't take me too seriously. And the second is, don't take golf too seriously, because you're never going to beat it. You know, if you're not having fun on the course, why do it?
Boy, that's so true.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And this book is just a compilation of stories that I've accumulated over the past 60 years of playing golf all around the country.
Yeah. For you, what was your best round of golf?
Well, actually, I played subpar. But the only time I ever did that, when I was playing with my father, he was the very best player I've ever seen. He was always one stroke better than whoever he played with. He should have been a pro.
Right, no kidding. So really, there was something about playing with him, I bet, that made you play up and play really well.
But and I think it's like anything in life. If you play with people who are highly skilled, you play better. And that's been my experience. I've been in the consulting business most of my life, helping people sell their products better or make a better looking product, whatever it happened to be. And that took me all over the country, 46 states. That's a lot of golf courses.
I was just going to say that. So 46 states will travel, have golf clubs, and getting to play in all these different places and all these courses. Do you have a favorite course?
Well, the truth is I don't. Every course is so different. Each one has something that is wonderful. It's kind of like people, you know? Everybody, you don't have to like someone to like something about them.
Hmm. I like that. I mean, I was just thinking in talking to you what my favorite courses were, and I'm kind of like you. I don't know that I have a favorite one. I mean, I got to play Pebble, which was amazing, and shockingly bad I was. Because I think I was so overwhelmed. I'm playing Pebble, and now I can't find my ball anywhere on this course.
Oh, terrible. Just, you know, a wonderful course.
Yeah.
But incredibly difficult. I can't imagine playing that as your regular weekly game. Oh, my.
No, I can't either. And, you know, then I played, too, for people listening in Miami area, Doral. I kept hearing so much about it, and then I played it, and you would always see, oh, the blue monster is so tough. And actually, that was, like, one of my best holes. But the rest of the game, there was so much sand. I was just in sand the whole time and trying to hit out of sand. And so that's part of that frustration that we're talking about. You know, when we say it's exasperating, that's one of the things. It's where the ball lands.
Well, my goodness, yes, and that's the whole difference between the professionals and the rest of us. They can play those strange shots. We can't. My dad one time, and my favorite quote from my dad, I asked him how in the world it was that he was always in the fairway. The truth is, in all the years that I knew him, which is well over 70 years, I never ever saw him miss a fairway. And he just simply smiled at me and said, son, he said, I've been working hard all my life, and I just don't have time to learn all the hard shots you play.
Oh, that's That's a great line. Boom! Hashtag.
That wiped me out.
No,
you were talking about courses, and some of the Western courses in the mountains are absolutely phenomenal. And the one that really caught my attention is up in Coeur d'Alene, Iowa, or Ohio, pardon me, in Idaho. And they've got this doggone hole with a green that literally floats in a lake.
Yes.
And oh, my gosh.
How do they
change it. Well,
yeah.
They must have a million balls in the lake every year.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
That's fascinating. And when you're playing in the mountains, you don't realize that all of the fairways tilt to the downside. You know, so you always have to be playing into the mountain because your ball is always going to roll downhill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, one of my favorite things that's challenging. There's no question about that. One of my favorite things about golf is that there's always this big bravado, right? When you pull up and, you know, I challenge you, and when the golf cart comes, if you don't hit it 150 yards past the woman's tee or whatever it is. But there's always these games. There's these games, and it's so fun and funny because usually the person that is the ribber, the person that is joking the most, is usually the one that falls apart eventually during the round.
Of course. Right. There's nothing worse. And don't you love it when someone is pressing from the rear and wants to pass through your foursome? And you know that if you let them come through, they're going to screw up their shots. It's always there. It's so fun.
Yeah, I wondered the origin of the word, like, four. Like, how many times on the course have you heard that? Four! What?
It has to be some derivation of a dirty slang, I know.
No kidding.
This book, Kate, really was a labor of love because over the years I had taken notes of the fun things that happened at various holes or various courses. And I just threw them in a drawer. And when my wife and I downsized years ago, we had to throw a lot of stuff away. And she came to me with this big box and said, "What are you going to do with all these notes?" And then she suggested that I take these notes and consolidate a few of them for my kids. Well, it turned out to be a tome. And it became a really fun book. And so just as we do with our fundraiser, part of the proceeds from the book after actual costs go into charity. And I really want to encourage people to get this. It's as we say, the book may not improve their game at all, but they will laugh a lot. And and that's the whole point. They will laugh, and it's wintertime coming up. Golf is slim, if any. But they can sit down and they can have memories that make new memories for themselves. And this is just a fun, fun laughing book. And it might even learn a few things because, as you notice, there's a little history in it.
Yes, there's some great history in it, and I think people should pick it up and help charity, too. So, Good Strokes for Older Folks, A Senior's Guide to Somewhat Better Golf. I don't want to spoil it. There's great, great stories and musings in it. Steve Shannon, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, Kate.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.